We're in our second week, actually third week of the series, but second week of the purposes of our church. Recently, there was a lady by the name of Adelina Dominguez who died in the city of San Diego. Now, what made her death so noteworthy is that according to the Guinness Book of Records, she was the oldest living American at 114 years of age. She outlived all of her children and outlived over 50% of her grandchildren. When she was asked the secret of her longevity, Associated Press reports, she said this: she gave all the credit to God and to His plan and His purpose for her life. And here's a quote: "I knew God had a purpose for my life." Wow. Let me ask you something today. Do you know what God's purpose is for you? Last week we talked about how that we were planned for God's pleasure, that God loves us, and the purpose in our life is to enjoy that love and then to love Him back. That is called worship. And so worship is more than just singing songs. Worship is a lifestyle committed and dedicated to the glory of God. Now today we're going to look at the second purpose of the church, and that's being formed for God's family, and that is called fellowship. Now, the Bible calls this fellowship. Today we're going to look at this second purpose. Notice this verse, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. I want you to read it out loud with me. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. Read it with me. "God is the one who made all things, and all things are for His glory. He wanted to have many children share His glory." God wanted family. Now, that's putting it, of course, in our vernacular and in our way of understanding. You know, God really doesn't need us. He is perfect within Himself. But I'm so glad today that God has a heart and wanted family and wanted you and me to be a part of His family. That's why we're here. The whole idea is that, look at this verse. This next verse, Ephesians chapter 1, says, "His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ." The entire Bible, this whole book, is for the glory of God as He is building the family of God that you and I have the privilege to be a part of. That's what it's all about. Now, once you understand and get started on God's first purpose for your life, that is living a life of worship, realizing you were planned for God's pleasure, that we talked about last week, God wants you to begin to focus now on the second purpose, and that is start practicing, putting into practical shoe leather what that means. And here in 1 Peter chapter 2, I want you to read this out with me. Read this out loud with me. It's a very simple verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, from the Message paraphrase. And this is what it says. Read it with me. "Love your spiritual family." That's WINS. That's East Tennessee language. That's us. Usins. Yeah, WINS. All of us. You guys. Y'all. You know, that's love your spiritual family. Let me just say something right here. And we could probably end the service right here. If you're having a problem loving your brothers and sisters in Christ, you've got a major problem. Because you don't understand your purpose as a part of the church. Now, that doesn't mean that we're always going to be lovable. But love is a choice. It is not based on circumstance, and it is not based on somebody maybe having a bad hair day and they were all in your face. Love is a choice that you love regardless, that it is unconditional. Love sometimes is very difficult, but love is what we're commanded to do. And if you're having a problem loving your church family, there is something wrong. Now, why does he want us to learn to love? Well, there are two or three reasons. It makes us more like God. First of all, because God is love. That's our first reason. It also, he wants his children to learn to get along together. We've got a lot of parents in here today. You know, do you usually want your kids to get along with each other? Let me ask you something. Do you spend most of your time trying to get them to get along with each other? Yeah. Well, folks, why would our spiritual family be any different than our biological family? You have to work at this. You have to remind yourself continually, I've got to get along with these folks. This is my church family. Listen, these are the people you're going to be spending eternity with. You need to get it in perspective here. The first thing that I didn't give you, I saved it for this part here, is that why God wants us to learn the people, to love the people in our spiritual family. The first reason was this, and that is simply this. Your physical family is going to eventually fall apart. I've got many people on the other side in heaven today. A whole lot more in heaven today than it was when I was growing up as a kid, growing up in Oakland, Tennessee with my brother and my two sisters. I've got a lot of friends, high school friends. We'll celebrate 50 this next year from graduating from high school. Now, I know I don't look that old, but celebrate 50 years. Several of those that I graduated from high school with are gone. They've gone to glory. I think of all the friends and loved ones. Your physical family is going to separate and dissolve, but your eternal family, your church family, those who know Christ, that will never end. Never. You know, it's going to be a time in which you have to make the choice to love. So God says, I want you to practice now. This life that we're living now, here this morning, is practice for eternity. It's practice for eternity. What you and I are doing, how we're loving each other, how we are serving each other, how we are fellowshipping with each other, how we are learning to accept all the little idiosyncrasies that we all have, all the little things that drive us crazy. Learning how to accept those. Loving people. And I want to tell you, that has to be a clear choice. The word in the Bible that we talk about is the word fellowship. Your first purpose in life is that of fellowship. Or your second, I'm sorry. That's the word that the Bible uses. It's the word koinonia in the Greek. And it literally means to love each other as much and as we love God. Don't you want fellowship with Jesus Christ? Absolutely. So it's the same word that's used with that. Now, some would say, well, I come to church on Sunday morning, I fellowship with the church. Well, you may partially fellowship, but I want to give you a deeper understanding of fellowship. Let me just give you an idea of how some things may go. Say you're here in the service this morning, you were out visiting out front before the service started, or you'll be visiting a little bit after the service today, and there'll be a casual conversation. Some will go out eating together. Some might say going to church is fellowship. And after the service is over, there'll be a couple of guys out in the foyer out there, and they'll be talking about, one of them will say, "Well, hey, how about them Vols?" And another guy will say, "Yeah, they just kind of were pitiful yesterday. You doing okay today?" Yeah, I'm doing okay. "Well, I'll see you next week." "Okay, see you next week. Nice fellowshipping with you." That wasn't fellowship. That's just chewing the fat. That's not fellowship. They were just talking, not fellowship. And write this down. Fellowship is loving God's family. That's what fellowship is. Loving God's family. Now read 1 John 4:21 with me out loud. Read this verse with me. "The person who loves God must also love other believers." Did you get that? Did you get that? Got it. So if you say you love God and you don't love other believers, there's something wrong. Now, there are going to be times when you don't like other believers,